Support for WYPR comes from the Park School of Baltimore's Saturday morning Rise and Shine activity sessions for children 3 to 5 years of age. Nature expedition through the Park School woods is April 20th. parkschool.net/shine.
And welcome back.
It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow at 9:30 tomorrow morning, WYPR will carry NPR's live coverage of oral arguments at the Supreme Court in a case that could decide the future of abortion rights in the United States. And at noon here on Midday, we'll have analysis of those arguments and a conversation about what it will mean for women's health if the court decides to abandon Roe versus Wade as the law of the land. Kim Whaley, a law professor at the University of Baltimore and the host of the YouTube show Simple Politics, will join me tomorrow on Midday. We turn now to the actor and filmmaker Sonia Sohn. She is best known for her portrayal of a Baltimore detective, Kima Greggs, in The Wire, the critically acclaimed HBO series. Her latest documentary film is about a real-life Baltimore detective, Sean Suter, who died while on duty in November of 2017. It's called The Slow Hustle, and it explores the mysteries that surround Suter's death. It will air on HBO beginning a week from tonight. And Sonia Sohn joins us on Zoom from the Outer Banks in North Carolina. Sonia, it's been a minute. It's great to talk to you. Welcome.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being had. I appreciate it. So Detective Suter died in November of 2017, like the night before your first documentary, Baltimore Rising, was released. So it's sort of right on the heels of that. But as you were doing Baltimore Rising, was this story of Detective Suter's death and the Gun Trace Task Force and the other issues you take up, was that in the back of your mind to continue this exploration that you sort of started with Baltimore Rising, your first film?
Actually, no, quite the opposite. I saw what was happening, what was developing, but what it took, you know, to actually pull the team together and work with the people of Baltimore, I feel critical, you know, community members to, you know, what it took to pull off Baltimore Rising was a lot. And touching the ills of law enforcement, and also, you know, those who were trying to make a difference. Like I say, quite a bag to carry. And I did not anticipate going back into a story about the police department, quote unquote, again. So no. And when that had occurred the night before, I think I felt very similarly to a lot of folks in Baltimore. I think I had a very visceral reaction to that death. And I just felt, well, the city, you know, can we take any more, you know? And we almost canceled the premiere. But in the back of my mind, I could see that there was, you know, a story there. But I didn't think that I particularly had anything to offer at the time until later, when I was approached by one of the executives at HBO, who had been following the Suri case, and thought that, you know, perhaps there was something there. There was a perspective there that I might be useful in exploring.
So tell folks what the movie's about. It's about a lot of different things, it seems to me. It is about the case of Sean Suter and how he died and the mysteries surrounding his death. But it's a bigger panoply of issues than just that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it was it's about so much more than just that. But I think ultimately, you know, I think the heart of the film, you know, the core of the film is about It really sort of asks the question of audiences, you know, what happens, you know, what could potentially happen when the public no longer trusts, you know, its law enforcement, you know, those who are set to, you know, protect and serve them. And I think there are aspects of the case that unfolded in such a way that, you know, point to, a lot of dangers there. But I don't want to speak, you know, too specifically, and I don't want to insert my my opinions and musings too much. But I hope that's enough there.
Yeah. Well, it is. I can tell you this: it is worth a look when it starts on HBO next week. Let's take a listen to a little bit of a clip from the trailer from The Slow Hustle.
I got one officer down. I got one officer down. Oh, no. Oh my God. He's a unit medic right now.
Sean. Detective Sean Suter lived and died a hero.
Sean's love showed me life can be good.
I was heartbroken, losing a partner, losing a friend.
My husband did not deserve to die, and no one deserves to get away with this.
New information tonight.
Suter was set to testify against 8 elite Baltimore officers the next day.
And that was wow.
There's a lack of trust in this department and its ability to tell the truth about an investigation.
Did someone in this department make sure he was killed?
No, I believed it was not possible.
If a police officer cannot be treated fairly, imagine how they would treat a person like me.
The Slow Hustle, a new film by Sonia Sohn. She's my guest today here on Midday. If you have a question for Sonia Sohn about her work as a documentary filmmaker, her work as an actor, 410-662-8780, or email midday@wypr.org. You can tweet us at Midday, WIPR. So, Sonia, when you talk about your musings that you may be reluctant to share, because, you know, the film, I suppose, in that sense, speaks for itself, and it speaks very powerfully. But I wonder, you're a slam poet. You and I, 100 years ago, did a concert together, a performance in which you, were a narrator and an actor. You've obviously, you've been on a bunch of television shows as an actor, and now this is your second documentary film. I wonder, what does the documentary form? What tools do documentaries give you as an artist that attract you to doing this kind of work now?
Wow, that's really a really great question. Documentaries really captured my heart, because I believe that if it's done well, it's done by a team of people who ultimately want to get to the truth of something. And that truth, and also that's one aspect. And then there is another aspect of just reflection and, taking, 90 minutes or so, whatever the length is, and going into a subject matter or a life or a way of life, a culture, an issue in a way that's almost like meditative to me, though it's in action, if that makes any sense at all. And for me personally, I am incredibly moved and inspired and driven and fueled by people, by humanity, and by culture. And I know that. And I also know that I have to honor that and give something back to it. And for some strange reason, I'm being given a platform and access to cameras or, space. And I know that that's a part of that. Wherever I go, I'm supposed to weave my life into others. And so this is sort of a place where I've been able to do all of that, where whatever I have can, whatever I can offer through this access of filmmaking, I can then sort of highlight other folks and their work through it. Issues that may not be able to be, you know, brought to light in a way that is much more moving, because there are pictures and real people. You know, it's not just scripted. I think there is a deeper investment when we're dealing with real folks and real issues personally. There are a lot of reasons why I'm completely taken by documentary filmmaking. And I think I learned something through every film. I'm making a film with people. I'm not making a film, you know, it's like you kept saying, like your film and Sonia's film, you know, I was like, ooh, it's sort of uncomfortable to hear that, because I always think that I'm making the film with you, that I'm not, I really try not to objectify you. I try to, you know, and I try to involve the people in the film and the making of the film. For instance, with Baltimore Rising, it was through the eyes of the people who we were following that we wanted folks to see what was happening, understand what was happening. So that was the goal. And the folks were very cooperative. And I think that was a success of Baltimore Rising, as I think people felt that they were with those people, not that they were seeing those people through my eyes. This film, you know, was a very different film, because it came to me in a different way. But I can't, you know, I'm not going to embrace a project unless I feel that it's, you know, right up my alley, if I can honor it and it can honor me even, and all involved. And especially we're dealing with a sensitive subject matter, as someone's death and a family, you know, in the middle of all of that. And so how to make sure that those people were telling the story was very, very challenging here. Also knowing that I'm not an investigative journalist, this was a true crime, you know, assignment, so to speak. You know what I mean? It's a true crime documentary. You know, were we, you know, would put it this way, would we have liked to have, you know, come to more clear conclusions about certain aspects? I'm trying to kind of talk around, you know, bits right here. Absolutely. And, you know, was that a part of this? Absolutely. Thus, we, you know, I made the decision to go to some of the journalists I had become to know in this town over the years. And I think that's, you know, where the film really starts to, where the foundation of the film was really laid, you know, where it was laid, you know, in making sure that there are people here who are telling the story, who can do what I cannot do, and knowing what I don't know, and trying to, you know, and making sure there were different voices there. I've just broadened that whole answer. Yeah.
But when we come back from a break, I want to talk about the perspectives, you know, the folks you chose to hear from, the perspectives we get in this movie, because it includes the family. It includes people from the police department. It includes reporters. It includes writers. It includes folks like Dee Watkins and Senator Jill Carter. We'll talk about all that when we come back. The film is called The Slow Hustle. We'll have more about the movie and the case of Detective Sean Suter with Sonia Sohn on the other side of this quick break. 410-662-8780, our email midday@wypr.org. You can tweet us at @MiddayWYPR. And before we go to our break, each week here on the program, it is our practice to read the names of the people who have lost their lives to violence in Baltimore City, and to list their names on the Midday webpage. We do so to stand in witness to their untimely deaths and to remember their families and friends in their hour of grief. 311 people have been victims of homicide in our city this year. Officials have released the identities of 3 of the 5 people who lost their lives to violence last week. They are Lee Wilkins Jr., age 40, Donald Eason Jr., age 35, and Teandra Shannon. He was 21 years old. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.
And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. If you've just joined us, my guest is the actor, writer, and filmmaker Sonia Son. Her first film was broadcast on HBO in 2017. It's called Baltimore Rising, and it chronicled activists, community leaders, gang members, and police in the aftermath of the death of Freddie Gray while in police custody. Sonia Son's second film will begin airing on HBO and HBO Max next Tuesday. It takes a close look at the Gun Trace Task Force and corruption in the Baltimore Police Department and the mysteries surrounding the death of a Baltimore detective, Sean Souter, who died in 2017, a day before he was scheduled to testify before a federal grand jury about corruption in the BPD. Sonia Son is with us until the top of the hour. If you'd like to join our conversation, 410-662-8780, our email midday@wypr.org, and you can tweet us at @midday WYPR. So, Sonia, talk about the choices you made, about the perspectives you presented. Before the break, I mentioned we hear from Detective Souter's family, we hear from some reporters, Justin Fenton from the Baltimore Sun, Jane Miller, WBAL Television, and Brian Kubler, who used to be with WMAR Television. We hear from Senator Jill Carter, and we hear from Dee Watkins, who's an author, an essayist, who also has covered the Gun Trace Task Force. How did you come to determine who you wanted to hear from? And talk about, you know, your consideration of the issues of objectivity and subjectivity and balance and those kinds of things that often come up in discussions about documentary films.
Mm-hmm. Well, because this was a very different type of film, and I knew where I would find ease. You know, I knew the folks who, you know, like Jill and Dee, you know, these relationships that were already in place that I believe could bring a certain kind of context to the story. I didn't know how those voices were initially going to play, but I knew somehow, you know, they are a part of the voice of Baltimore. I feel like the voice of Baltimore is a tapestry, and if you hear long enough, you know, you can, you know, where to find the threads. And any film about Baltimore, you know, has to, in my opinion, you know, has to somehow reflect that tapestry. And so there was this other, though, voice that was needed, or perspective that was needed, that it included this investigative journalism expertise. And Justin was someone that I had occasionally run into during the filming of Baltimore Rising on the street, and I guess even throughout the years when I was working with Rewire for Change. And I had heard he had he was doing a book on the Gun Trace Task Force. So it was originally just through research, saying, hey, let me speak with you and see what you're up to. And once I saw that he had been given a special, you know, assignment by the Sun, and the Sun, I felt that at least I had one sort of one position in place, you know, one investigative reporter in place that was actually on the job of trying to actually, you know, solve this mystery. And from there, it was who, you know, it was just through research and you know, development. I think Jane is someone that just, you know, she's a face of Baltimore on television and does the same kind of work. And she was someone that we were running into. And honestly, I was using Dee Watkins in my relationship with Dee a lot. Now that I go back into thinking about it, because he and I were discussing it, discussing the case, you know, a bit as well. And some of the perspectives, he had other relationships that you know, during the pre-production portion of this and researching this, you know, I also, you know, reached out to and tried to sort of figure out, you know, how, which voices could actually complement each other, you know, within the project. In the process, you know, Brian Coogler isn't someone that I knew. He was just a reporter. Gosh, I run up on the Brian. I think I was introduced to Brian. I think I saw Brian at one of the scenes, and then I think we met Nicole and Sean's lawyer, Jeremy. And I became more familiar with Brian through Jeremy as well. It's sort of all sort of cloudy now a little bit. That was back in 2000 and the spring of 2018, and the pre-production took place about over 30 days, 4 to 6 weeks in that spring. And I was sort of meeting these people, one right behind the other. But Brian was a bit of a surprise. I just really liked, I thought he was sharp. You know, every time I ran up on him, you know, I thought he was very clear and very sharp. And slowly over time, I started to learn other things about him. But so he just sort of emerged as a very clear voice. And that's how he ended up, you know, in the film.
I mean, all of the voices provide a great deal of clarity, and every one of those folks have been on this show sometimes many times, and it's always great to talk to all of them because I think they're some very smart folks. As a matter of fact, Justin Fenton, his book, We Own This City, which is about the Gun Trace Task Force, is also being developed as an HBO series, which will air in the spring. We just got a minute or so left, but what do you hope people walk away from the movie with?
Like I said, just, you know, Baltimore is, I believe, in a different place than it has been. At least I really do hope so. I think there is a new, and because this was specifically about a case and a period of time that isn't now, it's hard to sort of bridge the two, like, you know, that period of time and where we are now. And so I think, you know, what I would like folks to do is sort of, you know, look back, you know, where are we, you know, with, you know, law enforcement, you know, at this, you know, point in time, and, you know, just sort of ponder what is at stake when we lose that trust, and have those deeper conversations within your own circles.
And congratulations. We are out of time. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, but, there you go.
I mean, because the movie does really ask some very provocative questions and, you know, presents information in a really compelling way. So congratulations on this. It's really terrific, just like the other one, Baltimore Rising. So I'm delighted for you. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate your time.
Sonia Sohn, her new film is called The Slow Hustle. You can catch it on HBO beginning next Tuesday night, and it will begin streaming on HBO Max soon thereafter. That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, we'll carry NPR's live coverage of oral arguments at the Supreme Court in the case of Dobbs versus Jackson's Women's Health Organization. That's the Mississippi case that was designed to give the high court the opportunity to overturn Roe versus Wade. The coverage from the Supreme Court begins at 9:30 and at noon here on Midday. I'll be with Kim Whaley, and we'll have analysis and commentary. Coming up at the top of the hour after the news, it's a special Hanukkah Instorian song. Enjoy it. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
You're listening to Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.